The New York Times reported a study showing that couples who are happily married for long periods of time actually begin to look like one another. Have you ever heard that? Well, as soon as I have clicker here. You need to click on the screen I'm trying to show. Thank you. There we go. Allegedly, when you do a Google search, these people show up as being individuals who have grown to look like one another. I do see a little bit of resemblance. The next couple I thought was pretty interesting because I really thought that they looked like each other, like they could have been brother and sister. Studies show that even if a man and woman bear no resemblance of one another on their wedding day, that there are striking resemblances that occur over life, probably because of sharing life events, but even more sharing similar emotions and lifestyles, that one reflects off the other and eventually there's a similarity. Well, you know, when we trust Christ as our Savior, there should begin to be that same kind of similarity. We should be in the process of becoming more like Jesus. We should resemble Him. The Scriptures tell us that we are to become conformed to the image of God's Son. Now, today, I want to continue by, as we think about 2017, I want to ask a question or two about your own personal relationship with Christ. The question is really this: how much do you resemble Him? Perhaps you know Christ for just a short time, and that transition of being conformed to the image of Christ is just beginning. Perhaps you know Christ as your Savior for a very long time. Are you resembling Him? Are you beginning? Or is there evidence that you are looking like Him, meaning behaving like Him, loving like Him? That's a very scary question, isn't it? It's been several years since I launched a new year with a theme. Way back when, I can't even tell you, probably 2000, 2001, every year I would start the year with a theme. And then probably wouldn't preach a sermon, a series of messages on it, but the messages I preached kind of would, that would be a reference throughout the year. And it got to the point that I think I lost a little bit of creativity, but also, you know, in December, people would be sending me notes saying, the year is 2010. What do you think of this for a theme? And then people were giving me suggestions. Well, I guess by now you figured it out by the banner that is up there. But the theme that I want us to follow this year is let Jesus be seen in 2017. That this year would be a year where we would reflect who Christ is more and more and more. And today I want to look at how that might happen. I first want to turn to a passage of Scripture. So if you would turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read, and then I'm going to share 2 points. If you don't already have your white outline sheet out for the sermon, I would encourage you to do that as well. 1, John writes, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if someone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. We're going to stop there. And the first truth that we're looking at is this one. To let Jesus be seen, we must live like Jesus. Here in verse 1, he says, "I write this to you so that you do not sin." He goes on, and in verse 6, he says, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." In fact, being Christ-like or becoming Christ-like is actually the evidence that we're really in Christ in the first place. John says, "I write these things to you so that you will not sin." Now, if you do, you have an advocate. You have one who has atoned, is the atoning sacrifice for your sins. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on the cross, the one who paid the penalty that we ourselves deserve to pay. John goes on and he says, we know him if we keep his commands. He goes and says, the one who does not keep his commands doesn't know him. He's a liar. But the one who obeys demonstrates their love for God. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, if we're going to walk like Jesus did, let me just give you some examples, some biblical examples of how Christ walked or lived. It says in John 4, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus lived for the Father. Here's another one. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." The whole purpose of Christ coming to this earth, becoming a human being, was to ultimately go to a cross and pay the penalty, to be our atoning sacrifice for sin, to fulfill the will of the Father. Remember in the garden, and Jesus like, "Oh, Father, take this cup away from me." And then ultimately he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And then lastly, in Matthew 26, it says, "And he went a little farther beyond them and fell on his face and prayed." And I forgot I put this one in here. And where he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And so we see that Christ lived for God. He lived to bring glory to his Father by his life. He did the will of his Father. John says to us, if we are going to live for Christ, we must do his will. We must follow his commands. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so that to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Here in Ephesians, when Paul is talking, he's saying, don't live like unbelievers. You know, today, I hate to say this, many people who profess to know Jesus live like Gentiles. They live like unbelievers. It is very hard sometimes to see the evidence of one's faith. And if we are in a relationship with Christ, remember, we should begin to resemble Him. The longer that we are in a relationship with Him, the more we should resemble Him. And so he says, the Gentiles, they're separated from God. They've lost all sensitivity. If you look at the original language in that particular verse, it's like having a shot of Novocaine. They no longer feel the horror or disgust of sin. They're desensitized to it. Now you think about it. You know, let's use this as an example. You tell one lie. Oh, that was really hard. How easy is it to tell the second one? Or how many do you have to tell to cover the first one? And after a while, it's like lying is no big deal anymore. And that's really what Paul is saying here in Ephesians, that we need to be sensitive to sin. We need to be doing our best to follow the commands of Christ and to live our lives as He lived. Later in this particular chapter, he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Think about that for a moment. We are to take who we were before Christ and put it off. And we are to put on our new self. The Holy Spirit's work in us is to regenerate us, to transform us, to sanctify us, to help us to become more Christ-like. When we trust Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. The Word of God is very clear on that. And part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to transform our lives. It says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The Bible clearly tells us that we are to be holy because God is holy. They might say, wait a minute here. Okay, I understand. Jesus was God. He was sinless. It was easy for Him. Bible tells us that from a humanity standpoint, He was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, yet He did not sin. And so, it wasn't easy. He was tempted. The Bible clearly tells us that. There is a struggle. And the Apostle Paul also struggled. You know, we think he's like a super Christian, but he also struggled. And he was very open about that struggle. But he says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now listen. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. You know, the solution to living like Jesus is found in the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. And you can't do that if you're not seeking God's guidance in your life. You're just going to, you know, hey, I got my ticket to heaven. I'm just going to live it up till it's time to go. That doesn't work. That's not letting Jesus be seen. In 1 Peter, it says, His divine power has given us, what's that next word? Everything. Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. You know, I hear people say to me, you know, Pastor, I love Jesus with all of my heart, but I'm in the flesh and I'm never going to really be sanctified. I'm never going to be Christ-like until I see Him face to face. And it's almost like they gave up. Okay? Maybe you know people like that too. But we're to be striving. Yes, there's a struggle. Yes, sometimes we make some headway and we fall back another step. But there should be an ongoing progression in becoming more and more Christ-like. In Galatians, it says, I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. So, first of all, if you want to let Jesus be seen by living like Jesus, you need to be seeking to do your best to obey His laws and commands, to do your very best. And that is accomplished by not gratifying your own desires, but allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide in you. Walking in the Spirit, allowing the holiness of Christ, the goodness of Christ, to be seen in you. How is that manifested? Well, let me show you in the second point. The second truth is this: to let Jesus be seen, we must love like Jesus. We're to live like Him, we're to love like Him. In verses 7 to 11, it says, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light has come. And it says, anyone who claims to be in the light yet hates his brother is still in darkness. And it goes on and explains that for us. The bottom line is this: we need to love like Jesus loves. The Scriptures teach us that He loves us with an everlasting love. Is that love based on our performance? No, not at all. Because if it was, He wouldn't love us sometimes, okay? But He loves us in spite of the fact that we do things that are contrary to His will. He loves us in spite of the fact that He had to go to a cross to pay the penalty for the things we did, not the things that He did. And the way we love others is the evidence that we love Him. Jesus never condoned sin. Jesus always loved the sinner. In fact, He spent a lot of time with sinners, and that got Him in trouble, right? The religious people didn't like that. If Jesus is going to be seen in us, then we must have the same kind of love that Jesus has. In Matthew chapter 22, there were some Pharisees that were trying to really trap Jesus. And one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. If Jesus is going to be seen in us, That means we're going to love others in the same way that God loves us, even when they do not meet our expectations, even when they offend us. Jesus loves us in spite of the things that we do, and even when we disobey him. The kind of love that Jesus has is unconditional. You know, we often use this scripture when we have a bride and a groom coming to be joined together in marriage, but this is the kind of love that we're all supposed to have. Christ-like love. Love that is patient, love that is kind, love that does not envy, love that does not boast, love that is not proud or rude or self-seeking or easily angered or keeps a record of all of the wrongs. Love that does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Love that always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You know, when we love like Jesus, it means we have to be patient with others, even when they do things differently, even when they think differently. It means we have to love others who are perhaps have more than we do. Maybe they have more toys than we do. Maybe they have more success than we do. Maybe they can just not live for Jesus and seem to be doing way better than us who are doing our best to live for him. Instead of keeping a record of offenses, being quick to forgive, always trusting, always persevering, never giving up. You know, every once in a while, somebody will say to me, you know, Pastor, over these last umpteen years, we've taken in a lot of members. And while our annual attendance averages do rise, there's always a fall off. There's a fall away. You know, people are like, I'm so excited for Jesus, and poof, you know, the back door swings open and they're gone. You know, here's what I've learned to observe over the years. People self-annihilate themselves because they are either not living like Jesus or not loving like Jesus. Now you think about that. You know, sometimes people decide that living the Christian life is too constraining, so I'll wait till later. Or sometimes people are offended because of expectations they have of others, and so they keep a record of wrongs, and before you know it, they're so disgusted they don't want to be around those people. And that's what happens. People fall away because they're not willing to love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that it affects the way they live from day to day. And they're not willing to love like 1 Corinthians 13. Instead of keeping their eyes focused on Jesus, as we talked about last week, and taking your eyes off of everybody else and focusing on one, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Instead of doing that, if we put our eyes on other people, sooner or later we will be discouraged and disappointed. This past year, we received 31 people into our membership. I just realized that when I made my annual report. But I want to tell you something. If we would live like Jesus lived, and if we would love like Jesus loved, there wouldn't be any seats left. There's a lot of people out there that need to know the Lord, but they've had it with people who call themselves Christians and do not live like Jesus. And they've had it with people who call themselves Christians and don't love like Jesus. My friends, my challenge for us this year is to let Jesus be seen in us. Let him be seen in 2017. You know, that may mean that we need to do some transformation. Maybe we need to do some repentance. Maybe we need to change some of our ways of thinking and our ways of doing things. But again, I can tell you that that's what God's goal is for us, to be conformed to the image of his son. I'm told that on the wall near the main entrance of the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, there's a portrait with the following inscription: James Butler Bonham. No picture of him exists. The portrait that is here is a portrait of his nephew, Major James Bonham, who greatly resembled his uncle and was placed here by a family member so that people will know the appearance of the man who died for our freedom. Well, my friends, no actual portrait of Jesus exists. The picture that's up there on that banner is not a real photo of Jesus. I'm sure you figured that out. But when we live like Jesus, and when we love like Jesus, people will see Jesus because we resemble him. So, which of these truths is most needed for you? Living like him or loving like him? Or maybe both? The question is, when it comes to this year, will you make a conscious effort to do all that you can to be like him so that he will be seen in your life? So that the people that you come in contact from day to day, so your family members, your neighbors, your co-workers, the people in our community, that they will know Jesus because they see the resemblance of Jesus in you. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather before you remembering what Christ has done for us. He followed your will. He obeyed you. He became the sacrifice for our sins. He demonstrated a life of obedience, tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet he chose to obey. He loved others, sinners. Lord, help us. We confess that we often choose to gratify ourselves. We fail to be holy as you are holy. We confess, Lord, that we often fail to love others in the same way that you love. I ask, Father, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit in a way that Jesus is truly seen in us. We pray in his name. Amen.